Hello, this is Pastor Barry. I want to thank you for taking the opportunity to listen to our podcast. If you're a member of our church, I'm so glad you're getting the opportunity to listen. If you're listening in for the first time, we're so glad you have a chance to listen and hope you will visit us in the near future. More information is available on our website at www.newpointchurch.live. Thanks and enjoy the word God is speaking.
I'm at Nexus back in April. And Barry and Janice were both there, and luckily my family was able to come, and it was a really good experience for me. It was a gift that I wasn't aware that I had, and so it was really cool. And so having really all of Barry and Janice's family, I'm good friends with their daughter. I run women's ministry with her at Nexus. But really today I kind of wanted to talk a lot about her daughter Bree and her husband Brian, which a lot of you guys probably know too. But before I get into that too much, like I said, I grew up here. When it was Crossroads and started coming on as about my niece's age. I started coming on as about 8 years old with my grandma and grandpa. And I was baptized here in the back in like a, I don't even know what you would call it. Like, not, I don't want to call it a trough. It's a trough. I was baptized back there with my grandpa when I was about 8 years old. And I was really excited about this new relationship that I could have with Jesus, and I could come to church and I could have, it felt like extended family, all these people that cared if I was here or not.
Can I interrupt you for a minute? The kids are dismissed. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go for it. I felt like I had this whole new family that cared if I was here on a Sunday or not, and that would miss me if I wasn't here. And it took me a while to kind of get fully plugged in. I'm a shy person, and so Bree and Brian, I think, kind of pursued me for a while, and even as like an 8 or 9 year old, I was like, nope, I don't want to talk to that person. I'm nervous. I'm not going to do it. And so it took me a while to really get plugged in with Barry and Janice's kids and to get plugged in with Jim and Michelle's kids too. But once I did, it was a really exciting, really healthy thing. I know a lot of you guys who have kids, that's what you want for them, is to have those good influences in their lives. And so I really had that. But then, you know, you grow up and you kind of like, you all have probably had teenagers or at one time were a teenager, and your values can kind of shift, and it's not always in the correct direction that God wants for us, right? And so I got to a point where it was like, oh, maybe just this one Sunday, I'm going to sleep in. I'll call my grandma and I'll tell her I'll see her later on in the week and I'll apologize, but I just really want to sleep in today. And that happens once, and you kind of know like how habits work. I kind of formed this habit of being like, oh, no, not today. My mom, you know, she's not really going to yell at me. She might not be happy with me, but I can get away with sleeping in today, so I'm going to do it. And so I developed that bad habit of just deciding, like, you know, I'm going to take a break for a while. And in that time, I started to make other friends, and I started to see my family, the friends that had become family, I started to see them less and less, unfortunately. And so they got to a point where I had surrounded myself by people who didn't value Jesus. They didn't value God. They didn't value a relationship or church at all. And I was in a season where I thought, these are my friends, so it must be okay, kind of thing. And I found myself in some really scary situations. And it was around the time I was, you know, 17, 18 years old, that I think I was probably at the lowest point. I actually ended up moving out of my mom's house, and I moved in because I had put so much stress on that relationship. And I moved in with my grandmother for, was it like a month maybe? I don't remember. And I stressed them out too. And so that was kind of a wake-up call. I know, teenagers are the worst. And so I stressed them out too. I know it would be 3 or 4 in the morning before I would come home for whatever reason. Like, I understand now that that's a bad decision, but back then I was like, oh, it's fine. I'll just tell them in the morning, kind of thing. So that kind of gives you an idea of where I was at. Wasn't coming here at that point anymore. And then one day, Bree and Brian randomly, you know, hadn't talked to them in a while. I, you know, interacted with them on Facebook, tell them I missed them, that kind of thing. But they sent me a text, and they're like, hey, we're going to go try out Compass Church in Bloomington. And I was like, church? I don't know. And so I thought about it, and I decided, you know what, it'll be good. I'll go if Sarah Brown goes. And so I got Sarah Brown, I got your daughter to come with me, Kim, and we went over there, and I was skeptical. But at the same time, I thank God, I had kind of come to a point in my life where I realized I'm not really living my life for Jesus anymore. I'm making up all kinds of excuses for why certain behaviors are okay, why certain decisions are okay. I was putting myself in relationships that weren't healthy. And so I was just coming out of all of that when I went to Compass this first time. And so I got there and we went through praise and worship, and it wasn't that it was better or worse than any church I had been to before. It was just, and I'm sure you guys have gone through this in your lives too, once you go for so long of saying no to God and he finally gets a chance to get a hold of you, he's going to use that window that he has. So whether it's for, you know, 30 minutes or whether it's for a full service, he's going to take advantage of the opportunity and get back a hold of you. And that's what happened for me, kind of, because I was still kind of skeptical. So I was like, wow, this is different and this is really cool and I'm really excited about it. But I'm going to pace myself because I don't want to jump all the way back in all at once. And then Compass does what is called new people parties. And so with new people parties, basically if you're a new person at Compass and you happen to be there on this specific Sunday of a month, every few months, I think, they have you, you know, sit down, let's have some pizza together, let's have you meet our leaders at the church and have you kind of get an idea of who we are as a church. And so I there was one of those that day, and I was like, well, that's a lot. I haven't been to church in a while. I'm going to go meet all of these churchy people that I haven't met before. Like, that's scary to me. And so the shyness in me kind of, like, I had to quiet it down a little. I went, but I definitely sat there and just kind of took it all in. And I was like, this is a lot. And I actually ended up meeting Chad that day. And he came up to me, and this is kind of funny. But I was, like I said, I was at a point where I was really skeptical. And so Chad comes up to me, and he had an agenda of his own apparently, but he comes up to me and he's like, oh, hey, I'm Chad. And I was like, nope, don't want to talk to you. I don't want to get to know you. We are not going to be friends. That's not happening. And so basically, obviously, like, we ended up being friends. Our youth group that we had formed here ended up merging with Compass's youth group. And so we ended up forming this college group, and we made a really funny video and had a lot of fun. And Chad weaseled his way into my life, and it was great. It worked out great. But I have a slide up here that kind of shows where I'm currently at in life. It shows me and Chad together. It shows in the middle, we're expecting our first child in April. We're expecting a son. And it shows our, thank you. That's new information. We just found that out like a week ago, so we're still really excited. And that's our dog, Georgia. She's very important, too, so I had to throw her in there. And I want to say, though, that I'm not putting this picture, these are highlights from my life. I'm not putting these up here to tell you how wonderful my life is or to tell you that I have everything together, but really just to give you an idea of how much different my life could have been. You know, I could have stayed in the toxic relationship I was in with a guy who didn't even want to come home and meet my mom. You know, I could have stayed with the friends that wanted to drink every night and, you know, make poor decisions. I could have done that. But because Bree and Brian got a hold of me, you know, God has that gift with so many people. God, that's what God wants, is for us to go and make disciples, right? And so because I had that relationship with Bree and Brian, and they had that gift of just hospitality and loving on people, I got put right back where I was supposed to be, right back on track. And God had that planned out all along, right? From the moment that I started coming to Crossroads, to when I got plugged in with youth group, even the parts where I had fallen away from him, he was working on a way to get me back on track. And praise God, that worked. But that's just one example of kind of the influence, and that's kind of what we're talking about today, is the influence that you can have on someone else's life. And so I was trying to think of a different real-life example, and I was thinking about Bree and Brian, and I was like, well, Brian really likes movies, so maybe I can, like, pay homage, like, make a tribute to Brian, and like, what movie can I think of that is going to relate to this? And so this is kind of a funny story too, but we recently got, I don't know if anyone's Disney fans in here, if you have kids that are, if any of you, yeah, bought into Disney Plus, we sure did in our house. And one of the first things that I did, I was like, I need to watch a classic that I watched at my grandma's house all the time. And so I turned on Fox and the Hound. Oh, it made me cry. Oh my gosh. I was like, I didn't ever cry at this when I was little. What is this? And Chad was like, pregnancy hormones. And I was like, okay. Like that probably is what it is. And after like a good, I would say like, was it 30 minutes maybe of me crying? Chad was like, let's change it. I think there's a Star Wars show on, like, let's go this direction instead. But it was, once I got to thinking about it, I was trying to think of how I could relate, you know, what Bree and Brian did for me. And so if you know the movie, it's an older one, but basically movie opens with this mama fox, and she's running, and she has her baby in her mouth, and she's running from this hunting dog, and she's going as fast as she can, and it gets to the point where she realizes that she's not going to outrun this dog, and she needs to save her child's life before her own, and so it's going to start making me cry, but oh my goodness. she ends up deciding that she's going to sit her baby down, she's going to let her child live, she's going to put her baby first, and she sets her baby outside of this old woman's house. And obviously this little baby fox, he's spunky, but he's kind of scared. And so he is sitting there and he's like, what is going on? What in the world? And this old woman comes out and she tries to pick him up. And he's like, no, like, don't touch me. Get away from me. I don't want you to pick me up. And so eventually she's like, okay, no, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to take you inside. You're not going to be safe. And so I just want to clear that I'm not calling Bree and Brian old by any means. However, they are not old. However, in that situation, I was the fox. I didn't want to go back to church. I was scared of that interaction with all those people that I felt like had their lives so much more together than mine. That felt like they had made so much, you know, better decisions that I had chosen to make in my own life. And in the same way that in the movie, if you've seen it, the I almost called her a grandma, but she isn't one. She's just this woman that decides to take care of him. Picks him up and gets him out of all kinds of trouble. I talked to Bree and Brian a lot about all the kinds of trouble I would get into, and they would talk to me about that in my life. Gets him out of mischief, you know, backs him up if something's happening. I would call Bree and Brian a lot and be like, what do I do about this situation? And they were always there for me. So no, Bree and Brian aren't old women. However, they were that same supporting role for me. There's actually a similar story to this in the Bible. So we're going to look at 1 Samuel today. And basically, 1 Samuel starts out by introducing us to a couple. Elkanah, you guys can correct me if I say something. Don't pronounce it wrong, by the way. Or I do pronounce it wrong. But Elkanah and Hannah, they were a couple, and they went to Shiloh every year to make their yearly, they went to make their sacrifice. And one year, you know, they had been praying. Elkanah had another wife that was able to have children totally fine, had no issues. But Hannah was unable to conceive a child, and she would pray and she would pray. And you know, the famous Bible verse, for this child I have prayed, that's Hannah, you know, crying out to God, really wanting a son or a daughter, it doesn't matter, but she makes a promise to God and says, God, if you give me a child, if I'm able to conceive a child, I will dedicate that child to you wholeheartedly, 100%. And it's funny in the story, because while she's crying out to God, she's at the temple crying out to God, Eli sees her, and Eli, as a priest, I mean, as a pastor, you know, you see someone in the crowd crying, this wouldn't be your first thought. He's like, that woman's acting crazy. She must be drunk. And so he goes over to her and he's talking to her. And he's like, listen, you need to go and you need to calm yourself down a little bit. And she's like, oh, I'm not drunk. I'm just crying out to God. Here's what's going on. And she tells Eli, who's an older man at this point, she tells Eli, no, I want a son or a daughter so badly. So I'm crying out to God for that reason. And so Elkanah and Hannah leave, and eventually they are able to conceive a son, and that was Samuel. And so Hannah remembered the promise that she had made to God to say, you know, God, I'm going to dedicate this child 100%. And she remembered Eli. And so we're in, I think, verse 1, still 23. So kind of talks about what the process she went through was taking him to Eli. And so it says, so the woman remained and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence. praying to the Lord. For this child I have prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So she goes and she says, Eli, I'm the woman that was crying in your temple years ago wanting a child. I had a child, and I want to follow through on my promise to dedicate him to you. And so Samuel is left with Eli to be risen up to be a man of God, to worship God and serve God throughout his entire life as a child. But Eli had two other sons, and their names were Hophni and Phinehas. And we were kind of laughing about, like, we're trying to come up with baby names, and we're like, nope, not those ones. We'll not be naming our son Hophni. We will not be naming him Phinehas, because the Bible calls Hophni and Phinehas worthless men, and it meant it. Like, when the story's talking about these men, they're not just saying that they're, you know, rascals that get into trouble like I did when I was younger, or that like to just cause mischief here and there. Like, they are actually causing people to stumble from God. And so the Bible says about Hophni and Phinehas, it says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men, and they did not know the Lord. And at this point, you would think, you know, I would hope that our son would grow up to know the Lord. You would hope that your children would grow up to know the Lord. Eli as a priest, had sons that didn't know the Lord, that didn't want to listen to their dad. Eli didn't have that influence on them. So it goes on to kind of explain one instance of kind of something really bad that they did. So the customs of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest servant would come, and while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or kettle, cauldron, or pot. All that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, give meat to the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw. And if the man said to him, let them burn the fat first, and then take as much as you wish, Eli's sons would say, no, you must give it to me right now, and if not, I'm going to take it by force. So they have, you know, they're kind of holding this offering to the Lord. It says, thus the sin of the young man was very great in the sight of the Lord, and the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. And that's just one instance of their poor choices, their path that they've chosen to take. Even though they were raised up under Eli, who was a priest, they decided they weren't going to have that lifestyle. It goes on to say, when Eli was very old, he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to Israel and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all these people. No, my sons, it's no good report that I hear from the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. And so we're talking about how we can influence other people, right? And at this point, Eli's in his old age. He has these rebellious sons that aren't going to listen to him. And as sad as it is, they choose not to. Eli has kind of missed his chance. Whatever moment it was that Hophni and Phinehas decided that they were going to rebel and not be men of God anymore, Eli wasn't able to pull them back from that. But he gets a second chance with Samuel. And so we kind of learn, while all of this is going on, he's trying to deal with Hophni and Phinehas' poor choices. Samuel is doing his job really well of serving God, and he's getting to see his mom and dad every year when they come for sacrifice, and Hannah would bring him a robe that she made him, and so he's getting that connection with his family still, but he's under the influence of Eli. And another cool part of this is that, you know, Hannah, when she comes to visit her son, Eli prays for her, you know, you have been faithful to God, you kept your promise to dedicate your son to God 100%. So may God bless you with more children. And she ended up having 5 more kids. She had 3 sons and 2 daughters because she was faithful to her promise to God. But Samuel got to stay at Shiloh, and he kept growing in his relationship with God more and more. And then we kind of all know this story, but one night while Eli was sleeping in his room, Samuel kept thinking, oh, I heard a voice. It must be Eli. It must be Eli. So I'm gonna run to him and see what it is that he needs. And so kind of the story where in 1 Samuel 3:4, he's just heard this voice. And back then, that wasn't a common thing to just, in the middle of your slumber, hear God talking to you. That was not common at all back then. And this was happening to Samuel. So obviously there's something special about Samuel that God is choosing to speak to him. And Eli kind of helps him figure out what's going on. So 1 Samuel 3:4, he runs into Eli's room and says, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went to lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Stop coming in my room. Go to sleep. I don't know what's going on, but go to bed." And so the third time this happened, the Lord called to Samuel again a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. I know you're saying my name. I don't know why you're saying you're not. I can hear you loud and clear. What do you need, Eli?" And then it was that moment that Eli perceived the Lord was calling to Samuel. So therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak to the Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went to lay down in the sanctuary where he was asleep. He went and he laid back down. And the Lord came and stood, calling at, as all other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And the Lord spoke to Samuel. And it took me a second for this part of the story to really click with me, but in the same way, for me to make this connection, but in the same way that Eli says, "You know what? I know what's going on with you. You have a calling on your life. You have a gift of hearing from the Lord. I'm going to help you. I'm going to tell you how to sharpen that. I'm going to tell you to hone that in." That's what Bree and Brian did for me in my life. And the reason why we're talking about all of this today is because as God's disciples, we have to be intentional about discipleship in other people's lives, right? So Bree and Brian were intentional in reaching out to me. They didn't, you know, just see me on a Sunday morning and say, "Oh, hey, Sophie, how you doing? Good to see you. Bye." They would send me texts throughout the week and they'd say, "Hey, how are you doing?" Even when I was going through this time of, you know, a 17, 18-year-old not listening to anybody, I would still get texts from Bree and Brian of like, "Hey, girl, we're thinking about you. Like, you know, come over sometime," that kind of thing. And so they were going out of their way to make sure that I was okay. And in the same way, it could have gone how Hophni and Phinehas' life went, right? Bree and Brian could have decided, you know, she's a lost cause. You know, she stopped coming to church. We don't really know what to do with her, so we're not going to reach back out to her. And I could have turned out for the worse by a lot. But they decided to not give up on me. And so Eli, he missed the chance with Hophni and Phinehas. But with Samuel, he got a second chance. And so the same way that Bree and Brian are a huge influence in my life, and they're still today helping me sharpen. Bree and Brian called me this morning and prayed with me before service, and I didn't ask them to. They just decided to do that. And in the same way that they're still helping me sharpen myself and my relationship with God, Eli was doing that for Samuel. And so, you know, whenever I think of discipleship, I would get kind of nervous because, like I said, I'm shy and I don't want to go up to someone and just say, "Hey, have you heard about Jesus?" Like, that feels like an odd conversation for me to try and have. But it's so much deeper than that. It's having a relationship with people. It's growing a friendship with people. And so you may feel today like there's someone in your life who you either are too scared to reach out to, or you feel maybe as if you've missed the chance and they're too far gone. But God is constantly putting other people in our lives, right? God is introducing us to new people. You're going to go out to eat after church today and be in a restaurant full of people you haven't met before, and you're going to go to work tomorrow. I just started a new job a couple months ago, and I'm with 4 people that I get to have an influence on now. And so you may feel in this moment like there's someone who you either missed your mark with and you tried and it didn't work, or you didn't try and you wish you would have, but God is constantly introducing each of us to new people every day. And when we can have that influence on somebody, they have it on someone else, and that's how you grow the kingdom of God, right? And so I felt like this was so important for for New Point and for where New Point is at. And I don't want to admit that I'm a last-second person, but I was working on this last night. And while I was praying about it, I just got this vision. And it was of the church, and I was standing up here, and there was just green grass sprouting out of the center aisle. You guys are in a season of growth, And that's what God wants for this church more than anything, is just spiritual, even physical growth. Maybe it's bringing more people in. Maybe it's reaching out to the people that you currently have. But in the same way that I saw that grass springing up, and it was just the most amazing thing. You guys have the opportunity. You have a new start. You have a chance to reach out to those people that you haven't talked to in a while, or people that you feel like have gone down the wrong path, just to reach out to them and tell them you care about them. You don't even have to start with, hey, I need to talk to you about, you know, the path you're headed with God. It starts with just showing people you care. So if there's someone today that you're thinking of, you know, reach out to that person, see if they want to get lunch with you this week, see if they want to grab coffee, or just have a simple text conversation of like, how you doing? Great or not so great? And talk with them and walk them through whatever season they're in so that you can help walk them back to God. For Chad and I, you know, luckily I got back on track, like I said. And so for Chad and I, him being the youth pastor at Nexus, he's able to have an influence on teenagers who are in the spot that I was in, that are choosing to make poor decisions, or, you know, they're seeing their parents make poor decisions and that's all they know. And so he's able to have an influence on the teens there, and me serving in kids' church and in our women's ministry, I'm able to have an influence on the kids and have an influence on some women at our church, as well as be influenced by them. But for me, like I said, serving in kids' church and serving at Nexus in the women's ministry really gives us a chance to influence other people. And so at this point, God is not done working with you. He doesn't run out of people to keep putting in your life. There's not going to come a time when God says, well, I've introduced everyone I can to Sophie. I'm done now. There's going to be someone new in my life tomorrow and the day after that. And the same for you guys. You're going to keep getting chances again and again to work with other people on their relationship with Jesus. And so really, that's what having an intentional influence is all about, is going out of your way to reach out to somebody and make sure, hey, how are you doing? You know, and once you get past that point, invite them to church. And once you get past that point, pray with them and pray with them about their what's going on in their life. And doors and doors and doors are going to keep opening in your relationship with that person before you're going from begging them to come to church to explaining what their spiritual gifts are to them. And it's the coolest thing. Let's pray. God, we praise you today, Father God.